Good morning to each one. You know, I have wrestled a little bit on how to say good morning. It's very common for us to walk up here and say good morning to each of you in Jesus' name. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, I don't usually do that. Someday maybe I will be confident enough to do that, but that makes me shake. In Jesus' name? So I'm standing here in Jesus' stead? Whew. That feels like a big deal. And yet, I guess that's what we're supposed to be, right? In Jesus' stead. So I come with a little fear. Can I pull off of last night's message a little bit? A little fear and trembling. To do this right, to come as best I can in Jesus' name. Anyway, thought for you to ponder. It's something I ponder frequently. We say it loosely, and I don't think it's a bad thing to say. It's what we should be and do. I guess maybe I tremble a little bit to say it so strongly. So I want to come in Jesus' name. I am very thankful. I know I've said this, but I really mean it. Thank you for letting me be here with you all. I wept the other night, morning, I don't know when it was, as I realized, Lord, my fire has cooled off. Know the right proper terms to say that. We have entered into a time in life. I have entered into a time in life that is different than anything I've really ever experienced. We made a move, and not only with this move up north, but we also bought a property, and the property needs lots and lots of work, and the house was unfinished, and we quick made it livable, moved into the basement, and our working on the upstairs. And so in between trying to make some money, I'm trying to build a house. And I tell people frequently, could I get some counsel from you? I'm spending three times as much as I'm making these days. Is that okay? And they all smile back and say, well, as long as it's for a short time. But buying stuff and fixing a house and working with my boys, and I'm very glad to do it because that was one of the reasons I wanted to, was the opportunity to work with my boys. And but it's a lot of stuff. A lot of things. It's more stuff and things than I've ever dealt with, and it's good for me. I need to face, it's good for me to face these things and deal with them and try to keep my heart and life proper in the midst of stuff and things. Because what we're going to talk about this morning is very, very pertinent to me, and I think pertinent to each one of us. And I could apply it in many different ways, and it would apply to different ones of us on planet Earth here in many different ways. Excuse me. But it usually, I think, applies to all of us. And it's something that has been a killer to many, many followers of Christ. Matthew 13. You can open there. Matthew chapter 13. It's been a killer. I have some dear people that flash before my mind as I think of this subject. One dear young man who I got to weep with back in a prayer corner at a Bible school. And I loved him and I respected him, and we wept together and pled with God to mold our lives and make us usable for the kingdom of God someday. And I loved him dearly. And today, he's far from what I want to be. Very far. Another young man I also did some of that. I think of the basement of my parents' house over some meetings, and he stayed with us, I think, and we spent some time together talking and sharing. I feel like we fed each other's burning hearts. And as we fed each other, we also got on our knees and we prayed. And our prayer then was also, Lord, make us holy. Make us usable vessels so that someday You can use us in Your kingdom. And today, just the other day, I think I looked at a picture of him and his family, and it makes me feel heavy. I don't want to be there. I want to be where he's at. Another young man I spent some time with in Africa, and we rode the trails together. We were on a bicycle together, and we biked out to villages and stood up and preached. And I remember one time we got to one village and he got sick. And that's somehow, it's just common sometimes back in those villages. And he got sick. And he said, well, you can go and preach. I'm going to lay down here at my at the sitting place. It was a sitting place there. And he lay down there and he was sick. But we wrestled on the trails and we wrestled together and we worked through things together. And now today, he's living in sin. Terrible sin. And I don't mean to be morbid. I could also list some that I'm thrilled with where God has them. And I'm still looking up to them. But I want us to look at this aspect because Jesus mentions it today here in these parables. It seems to me almost at times that people are falling like flies. Is that a term sometimes? It's just amazing to me, and it makes me tremble. God, keep me. Help me. Kingdom-conscious Christians influence the world without the world influencing them. Is that possible? Kingdom-conscious Christians influence the world without the world influencing them. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 7. I want a sobriety to settle over our hearts. And I want us to tremble a little bit. And I know sometimes it feels a little like a heavy thought as we think about what we're going to think about this morning. But it is heavy. Chapter 13, verse 7. Just jumping right into the middle. Again, I'm trusting you know these parables. You read over them. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But do you know what that means? That means the wheat sprung up too. The sower went out to sow. He was sowing his seed. He was sowing and sowing and sowing, and some seed fell, and we know all the different places that it fell. One place it fell, it started growing. And in the beginning, it looked good. This fruit was growing, this wheat was coming up, it was getting green, and it starts growing and growing, and you get this velvet look over the field. And it's beautiful. But after a while, you start realizing, that looks a little different than this. That plant looks a little different than this. What's going to happen? They keep growing and growing and growing, and a fight starts, is what happens. There's a fight that begins to start in that field as the wheat is fighting against the tares. And they begin fighting and fighting for enough light, enough good soil, enough fertilizer, and they're fighting to see who's going to win. I think we need to realize there are, and again, I like to divide it in six different soils, but there are four soils that most people divide it in. We have the ones that the birds just came and took it away, gone. It didn't take root. We have here where the thorns are and thorns spring up. We have the stones and the sun, and we have the good soil. And if I can, just quickly, can we weed out? By God's grace, the vast majority of us here are not the soil that the birds took away, right? So can we set that one aside? That one's, by God's grace, we're so thankful. There's fruit here, and I'm thrilled. Thank you. Bless you. There's fruit here. So we're not that soil. We're not the one the birds took away. So we have three other options. We have the 30-60-100, the good soil. We have the stony, and we have the thorny. A few of us have suffered some from persecution. Some of us haven't much. We've had little pressures here, little pressures there. In Zanzibar, we had a few little pressures, but I didn't sit in prison. I never had blood come from me. It doesn't hardly feel worth it to call some of the little things I went through persecution. Some of us have suffered from that, but the main one that we are going to be tempted with is the thorns. Is that not right? As we look at this parable, we need to realize most likely we are allotted in that thorn area. That's going to be our temptation. Now, praise God, I know there's some 30, 60, and 100 here. But our battle to be 30, 60, and 100 is going to be those thorns. So, this is us. We're fighting. And one of the things we're fighting, Jesus said, is thorns. Verse 22, Jesus explains himself a little bit. He gives a little application to the thorns. So Jesus is helping us to see what he's trying to say. He also, that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And then Jesus lists two things. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So we have the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches are the two applications that Jesus gave to us here. If we look in some of the parallel passages in Mark 4 and Luke 8, I feel we can divide it into four different applications that Jesus gives us. Number one, we read there, cares of this world. Number two, we have deceitfulness of riches. I probably should have written this bigger, shouldn't I? Number three, lust of other things. And I'm pulling from these other scriptures to get these last two, but these are also things that Jesus says. And we have pleasures of this life. I'm so thankful. Sometimes when Jesus gives us parables and he gives us illustrations, we don't always get as much application as we get here. But here, he gave us application, and he gave us four things. If we look through the parallel passages here, we can pull out four applications he gave us. Cares of this world, number one. Number two, deceitfulness of riches. Number three, lusts of other things. And number four, pleasures of this life. And we'll look at this some more and talk about this some more and break this down some more. But Let's just put this as a background. We're among thorns, brothers and sisters. We're among thorns. Let's accept it. We are among thorns. There are tares, and we'll go and look at this parable here in a little bit. And we need to know how to fight. We need to know how to grow. We need to know how to resist. Or they choke us. They do. You've all seen it. I think we could each make a list of names and people that have been influenced and affected by these thorns. Let's also go to Matthew 13, verse 24. As we went over these parables on Monday, I just pulled out some highlights, and now we're jumping and grabbing some of those highlights. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. We've read this parable. Can you picture this in your mind? A big field. Some of you have fields. And a man goes out and he sows the seed. What would happen if it's Monday morning, and I know we're not in springtime, let's say we're springtime, you go out and you start your tractor and you get your hook up your drill and you're going to plant some wheat. The field's been prepared and it's all ready. You hook up that tractor and that planter or the drill and you start sowing up and down the rows, up and down the rows. You work hard all day, the dust is flying, filling the tractor with fuel, filling the seed into the seeder or the planter, the drill there. And you work hard all day and go to bed at night and you're thankful. The field has seed in it. And you don't realize it, but one of your neighbors started to get an itch under him and he's upset at you. And you don't know why yet, maybe, and all that. In the middle of the night, he goes out there and he gets this big old bag of thistle seed. Or I'm not sure what your worst weed is around here. What's your worst weed? Johnson grass. Big old bag of Johnson grass. And he's out there and he goes out all over that field. Just makes a whole bunch of Johnson grass. You get up in the morning looking over your field. It doesn't look a whole lot different and you're thankful. There's the wheat that you sowed there. You go about your day, and it's day after day, and it won't be long till you're looking at these rows, and something's funny here. And you'll start to see something's going on. You've got a problem. You've got a big problem. Brothers and sisters, we have a problem. Am I allowed to say that? Yes. We have a problem. A big problem. We've got Johnson grass, and we've all seen the results of some of these Johnson grasses. There's tares. So the servants of the household came and said, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" Why do we have Johnson grass in our field? I know, when you planted seed, you were careful. You put the right seed in your field. Why the Johnson grass? And he said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then we go and gather them up?" And this is what marvels me. I honestly am not sure I understand this. I can reason it out. And I can theologically comprehend it, I think. And we'll wrestle with that maybe a little bit today. We'll see. But he said, "No. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat, let them both grow together." Lord, you're going to leave the tares in the field? Yes, servants. Yes, angels, as we'll see here later. I'm going to leave the tares there for now. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, "Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Jesus is telling us that we're in the midst of the world and there are tares there. What are we going to do about it? There's Johnson grass around us. Verse 37. We're jumping here now. This is Jesus' explanation. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. They shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend." Praise God, it's going to happen. He's going to get rid of tares and Johnson grass. "All things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous read this, and let this give hope and vision. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Can you hear? Can you see? I want us just to ponder a little bit. He said, let them both grow together. Turn with me to John 17. I feel like in John 17, we get a little heart of our Lord Jesus in light of these tares being in the world, and there's thorns and tares around us. Excuse me. John chapter 17, we're just going to jump in the middle here and real quickly grab a few verses, 15 through 18. I pray not. This is our Lord Jesus, and He's on His knees, and He has a burden on His heart, and there is so much depth in this 17th chapter. As He prays, we get a glimpse into the heart of our Lord, and we're jumping in the middle here, just going to grab a few thoughts. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them separate from the tares. Right? Keep them from evil. So, Father, don't actually take the wheat and put it in your barn yet. That's not your heart. Don't take the wheat out of this world, stick it safely in your barn where you know it won't be choked. Don't do that. Don't take them out of this world. But, oh, Father, keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do you get this? Here we have, I don't know. Here we have in, He says, leave them in the world. But Father, not of the world. So don't take them out of the world. Leave them in the world, but not of the world. And then they are also sent, He says, into the world. Not only did He say, don't just take them out, but He says, I actually want them there. And they have a purpose for being there. They're sent into the world. Left in the world. Not of the world or not influenced by the world, but they are influencing the world. That was the heart of our Lord there. And this sometimes I wrestle with. Lord, is it possible to live in a pig pen and stay clean? Pig pen. Okay? It's the way it feels sometimes in the world. We're in the midst of so much stinkiness and filth. Can we live here and smell clean and stay clean? Maybe I'm painting a bleak picture. We'll go on, okay? Bear with me here. We'll go on. But I think in some senses it feels bleak at times. It feels bleak. How do we do this, Father? How do we make this a one-way street of influence? Us influencing the world without the world influencing us. How do we do that? I think a kingdom-conscious Christian, a Christian who sees the kingdom of heaven, will live on that one-way street. Influencing the world without the world influencing them. I want you to help me here a little bit. We're going to communicate together a little bit today. Help me with this. I'm going to put a little graph here. And I'm going to put over here This is a very nice whiteboard. Bless you all. Influence. I can't spell though here. Influence. Influencing. Influencing the world. And down here is going to be world influencing us as the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so influencing the world. God wants us to influence the world. Right?
Does God want the world influencing us?
No.
So when we combine these two, when we put yes and no together, what do we have? What's the term we're using this week? Did I do that right? Influencing the world, yes. The world influencing us, no. That's a kingdom conscious Christian. Right? That's what we're looking at here. The kingdom of heaven is like unto kingdom people. Influencing the world, yes. World influencing us, no. What happens though if we get this combination mixed up? All right? Let's say here now we have influencing the world. We're going to say yes. The world influencing us. What if we also say yes? And then what if we combine these? Have you ever met any people like that? And I want us to be careful. We don't want to go judging and throwing out names and all of this. Let's be careful. But have we ever seen some people like this and maybe seen our own selves like this? Influencing the world? Yes, we want to do that. World influencing us? It happens, doesn't it? Does it happen? Have you seen it? Is this a kingdom conscious Christian? What is this? Worldly Christian. Okay, I was wrestling with a couple of titles and that was one of my options. Okay, we'll call this Worldly Christian. I thought carnal would be a nice word as far as when you study the word, study that word carnal. Carnal also works. Influence in the world, maybe. World influencing us, yes. And it makes for a messy mixture. And it doesn't work or last very long. Okay, let's keep going here. What happens if we now... Where are we at here? Over here I'm going to put... What happens if we say influencing the world and the world influencing us? What if we make both of these no? Have you seen some of that also? We've seen some of that, right? Help me with the term. Again, I want us to be careful. We'll find ourselves in these terms at times in our own hearts. So you're naming yourself. I want us to be careful. I don't want judgmental, but we need to face facts and reality sometimes. Without savor. Okay. Thank you. Without savor. Okay. Sleeping. Stagnant. Okay, we could keep going, couldn't we? Have you ever been there? World's not influencing us. Okay, taking a stand. I'm not going to allow the world to shove me around in this. I'm going to push my leaf up above that thorn. And he's not going to get the rain and sun and nutrients he wants. And by God's grace, I'm going to. But then I'm afraid to open my mouth. Or I don't share the way I should. Or I kind of hide under a bushel. Is that what our Father wants? May God help us. Okay, we have one more combination here, right? I didn't do my angles right. I was supposed to think ahead more than that, and I forgot. Got into what I was saying. So now we have, the only one we have left is here. And yeah, I'm sorry. I was supposed to put that down here, and I didn't. Now what do we have? Influencing the world? No. World influencing us? Yes. Is that a tear? Influencing the world? No. World influencing us? Okay, I'll put it down. My Lord, help us. What else? You ponder that a little bit. Okay. Okay. Pernicious ways. Sure. Her. Okay, sure. I don't know if I'm spelling this right. I-O-U-S, pernicious. That doesn't look quite right, does it? You can't read it, most of you anyway, so you have to write it down the right way. Pernicious, what was the other word?
Lasciviousness.
I didn't spell that right either. So I kind of need to go get some spelling lessons on a couple of words here. Do you see that? Ponder that. Ponder that little chart. Put that down. You get on your knees and you ponder it. Lord, where have I been influenced? What combination am I? What? Am I 50-50? Am I 60-40? Am I 70-30? And again, you're probably not going to evaluate yourself the way Jesus does exactly. But it's good for us to meditate on this. Where are we at? I'd like to share 3 points here. Number one, the quandary. Number two, the killer. And number three, the cure. And that sounds like I have it figured out. I don't. But we can look at some principles here. Number one, the quandary. To me, this is a quandary. I look at this and I say, Lord, I'm not sure I understand. How are we supposed to be in a pig pen and stay clean? And is that too strong? The world's a mess. And its influence is all around us, and it's oozing and pressuring and pushing, and billboards and everything is glaring and blaring at us constantly. And it feels sometimes like a pig pen. God, why? When I got down on my knees that day and I said, Lord, I'm yours. I have problems. I'm a mess. Change me. Why did he just say, welcome, son, into paradise? He didn't make the plan that way. He said, welcome, son. Now, son, you're not of the world. But I'm going to leave you there. I'm sending you there into the world. But I'm leaving you there, and you're going to stay with the tares and with the thorns and with the stones. And you stay there, son. But stay separate. Stay different. Stay wheat. How does that work? Left in the world to influence the world without the world influencing us. I want us just to picture something. And I shared this with some of you. Even the secular world understands that mankind can only have so many relationships. And they put a number on it. I should have looked it up. I think I've heard the word 60. You can only have so many profitable, deep relationships. And the picture that has come to my mind is here I am with all the relationships that I have, and what I'm doing with every relationship I have is I'm handing you a rope. I like you, Philip. And I don't say this, and I don't even always think it, but it's what happens subconsciously. I like you. I'm going to give you a call in a week and say, how are you doing? What about this? What about that? Because I like him. I want a relationship with him, so I'm handing him a rope. And that rope is fastened to me. And as I have a relationship with him, and I call him, the more I call, maybe the bigger that rope gets, the more I come down and see him, the bigger that rope gets, and the more power he has as we relate. So if he starts walking this way, I have a pull to go the way he goes. And he influences me. And I also appreciate another brother. Let me just go outside of here. And the way the world is today, it doesn't have to be within walking distance. And so I have another man, and he's in California. And I send emails back and forth and phone calls and whatever all it is, and I'm handing him a rope. Right? And he pulls. So if he ends up pulling the same way Philip pulls, what happens? Well, if he's pulling the same way, influence happens. If he's pulling the opposite way, yeah, okay, you end up with a tug of war. So we go through life and we hand out these ropes. Here, you take one. You take one. The brotherhood has some ropes in it. My brotherhood, my wife has a rope. And on, and just picture, and here I am with a whole bunch of strings going out of me. That's the way God made us. It is. He did it on purpose. If we were all individuals, uninfluenced by each other, try to have a brotherhood with that. Oof. Wouldn't work. God did it on purpose. He wants you and me influenceable. It's a good thing. And so here we are, we're all walking around, we're living life with our 60 or whatever you want to do, ropes going around. And depending on who I hand ropes and who I take away from or cut or, you know, maybe I'm really struggling with one of you and it goes down to a string. And it's not very strong or a thread. But you have one, and so do a whole bunch of other people. And if I could just insert here, that's one of my big concerns about technological communication. We're handing ropes to all sorts of people that we don't really connect with and fellowship with. And so let me just picture this. Picture a family with me, and father is sitting there in his chair, and he has his 60 ropes, and some of them come right through a little device. And his are, you know, nobody knows for sure what all his ropes and who they go to. And mother sits over here and she has her ropes. And they're all scattered around. And Johnny and Sally, and you see the picture. And then we sit there and we scratch our heads. Why don't we all think alike? Why are we having a hard time agreeing? Dad has 60 ropes going different places than mom does, than Johnny does, than Sally does. See what I'm saying? God meant for it to be this way. It's good. That way, as we sit as a brotherhood, and I say, brother, I trust you, take a rope. Brother, I trust you, take a rope. And he says, I trust you, take a rope. Do you see the power that can come there? If we as a brotherhood will do that to each other completely, with whole hearts, and we pull and yank, and that sounds like we're going against each other. Sometimes we have to communicate. I don't understand you, so I'm pulling back a little. Well, this is what I mean, pull. Let's do it in love, and we can do that. You've all experienced that. But do you see the power? If we're handing each other ropes, and we're all bound together, it brings strength and solidity if as a brotherhood we are that way. But if we're sitting in our individual cells with each of us, all our many ropes going out, it's difficult. So you sit in a cell like that as a family and you think, well, why can't the family unite? And why do we have different ideas? And why? Well, it's multiplied when you take that into a brotherhood. Right? Because now you have men and a bunch of men. God said, stay in the world. We're going to have a lot of tares. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be stones. And the sun's going to shine, all the different things. And would you stay separate from the world? Be careful how you hand the world the ropes. Now, maybe I'm jumping into the cure here a little bit. Sorry, they all... But do you see the quandary that I'm in? That we're in as the people of God, and we're still in the world, and sometimes ropes get handed the wrong places. Let's be careful where we hand ropes. Let's purposefully hand ropes. And if you do it purposefully, it's beautiful. I was talking with a brother last night, and he's wrestling with some things, and I encouraged him. I gave him this thought. I said, well, when you're looking for who to trust, I'm sorry, I'm going beyond what I said to him. I'm trying to say it carefully here. When you are wrestling with, yeah, I think it was trust, follow, be influenced by, I said, note their conversation, the Bible says. Note the conversation and their manner of life and the outcome of their life. Don't look at one little petty decision made now. Look at their life. 10 years. The fruit. What's it looking like? Children, brothers, sisters. You know, look at fruit. And when you see that, God says, you can find that in His Word, you can hand a rope to them. He says, follow them. Hand them a big rope. Marking. Godly. Wise. Good fruit, hand him a rope. Hand him 2, 3, 4. Just the picture. If we want to hand ropes to the right places, we must do it purposefully. Can you... The tendency is to think, well, I'm handing God my ropes. Right? You ever heard that? I think it's the folly sometimes of when we say, well, my God and me and my Bible, and we'll figure this out. You know, I'm handing God all my ropes. It doesn't work that way. God didn't make us that way. It doesn't matter to me if you closed yourself in a room for a year and here you are, you and the Bible, you have past experiences. You have past relationships. You have thought processes that were influenced by other people. There's still ropes connected. And it's good. God meant for it to be that way. Okay, so our quandary, Lord, here we are. We're in the midst of a world. And we're supposed to stay separate from it. How do we do this, Lord? How do we do this? Can we stay clean in a pig pen? We have the killer. And here's the killer. The killer is worldliness. It's carnality. It's thorns. And I want you all to help me. I want us just to think about the cares of this world. Say some of them. And we'll see how honest and blunt we can be. What are some cares of this world? You ponder with me. I can sit there on my knees in my room and I can come up with a long list, and I've done it. But you do it with me. Meditate with me here. What are some of the cares of this world? What are some killers? Give me some killers. I'm going to list some out here. I'm sorry, brother? Providing for our family. I'm going to just shorten some of these words you say. Providing. Well, brother, isn't that a good thing? Absolutely necessary and a must. But let's remember, okay, that's a care of this life. And it can become, an absolutely necessary thing can become a killer. Right? Brother? Okay, work, same thing. Okay, providing, work, sure. Us men, that's what we go to, right? That's a big one for us. We spend a lot of hours and a lot of energy on this one. And we should! But it can also be a killer. It really, really can. Guess I'll say my 2 cents here before I get the next one. I think one of the best way to cloud the glasses of our eternal, our ability to see the eternal, to have an eternal consciousness. I think maybe I wrote a sentence down here. It's not in front of me. If we want to cloudy our glasses into the eternal, I think there's a really good way to do it. Did you hear what I'm saying? We don't want to, but if we want to cloud the glasses of seeing into the eternal and beyond here, there's a really good way, I think. Get rich. I don't think I'm saying that any stronger than Jesus did. In fact, I think he said it a lot stronger than I did. He makes some strong statements. Let's be careful with that one, brethren. It's one of those things where we're left in the world. Leave them there, Father, and make them need to work. They need to work. They need to provide. But Father, this isn't what Jesus prayed, but I can see this in his heart. This, I think, was his heart. Leave them there. They're going to need to work. But Father, help them to do it rightly. Not like the world, but like my kingdom. And they provide. But they're not all caught up in it. It doesn't consume them. It doesn't just... let's go on. A couple more. Here's a little saying that I have to chew on. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on this one here. Providing. John Wesley wrote in his diary. And he made lots of mistakes too. But he's someone who looked at the people of God a lot. He said, I've only ever known 2 men... who have, I wish I could remember how he phrased it, something to this effect, gotten wealthy and it hasn't diminished their spiritual intensity. Okay, excuse my term there. They've gotten wealthy, become rich, and it hasn't minimized their spirituality. And it hasn't brought that down. 2. Later on in his life, he scribbled it out and said, no, not one. Apparently, he saw them lose out a little bit. Let's be careful. He's not Biden. But I think it's a truth that we need to grasp. Jesus said so much on it. Let's be careful, brothers. Stay in the world and provide for your families. But separate. Different. Be careful of these thorns. Another one. Okay? Cares of this world. Someone else. I'm sorry. Health. I'm sorry, brother. I just didn't catch it. Health. Okay. I don't like being weary and tired. I've been there. I don't like it. I like having energy and strength. But we have to take care of ourselves sometimes. It doesn't work to just say, skip it. We have to. We have to be careful. We have accidents. We have things happen. We have to take care of it. But let's not get over much about it. Now, I guess you get my opinion. Some people, it feels to me like get consumed with this thing. And I'm afraid this almost becomes a care of life. I don't want us chewing on potato chips and drinking Mountain Dew and Milky Ways for whatever. So, that's not right on a consistent basis. But let's be careful that we don't get so consumed with this food conscious thing. And some of us need to. I understand. Some people have to focus on it more. And I'm a little bit of one of them. I limit my sugar. I don't need to list all my... But let's be careful. Don't let this overcome us. And I realize it takes more energy for some than others. So I want to give lots of grace where it's needed. But let's be careful. Someone else.
Projects?
Okay. Like what? Projects. Nobody has any projects. Oh. Skip that one. Let's go to the next one. Nobody has any projects. They can distract us. Maybe I could write up their hobbies. I'm taking too long on these. List some more. Some of you ladies, throw a couple of thoughts out. I'm sorry? I can't hear very well. I'm sorry? Debt. Debts, yes, if you have debts over you. Yes, debts are cares of this life. Okay, let's move on. You can choose from these other ones here. Deceitfulness of riches. Debt. Deceitfulness of riches. We kind of went over some of that one. That's fine. Lust of other things. Pleasures of this life. Help me. Can we get practical, or is this kind of hard in a big group?
Relationships.
A little more practical. What kind of relationships? Okay. What do you mean by relationships, brother? How do we relate to that? Good. How do you have a friendship with someone without handing them a big rope of influence? And I'm not here with the answers. I just want us to ponder the issue here. And it can be a killer. The quandary and the issue. And then the cure. I guess in a sense, I feel like I'm mixing all three up here a little bit. But can you see this picture? Relationships, let's be careful. How big of a rope are we handing? When you have a relationship, it creates some ropes. Is there a way to have relationships with the world and not hand them a rope that they influence you, but you influence them? How can we do that? What if we have a whole bunch of other big ropes going back to a bunch of other brothers and a bunch of other sisters, and we meet someone, they don't stand a chance. And I can pull on him, and I can pull on her. If I'm bound together, I'm jumping into the cure real quick here, aren't I? You see the cure? If I'm bound together with my brothers and sisters, brother, hold a big rope for me. Should, ought we not, and I'm sorry, because of time, I'm mixing all these up and I'm getting to my point. Ought we not love the opportunity to hand our brothers and our sisters big ropes and say, help me, brother, pull! I need you. And we need them worse than we think. We kind of feel strong. I have my convictions. I have my expectations of myself. I have my burdens. I have my direction. But we've all, those of us, I think most of us can see it at least a little bit. And the older we get, the more we see. It just gets influenced. Things change. Things happen in people. We need each other. I'm sorry? Good. Good. There's something about especially young people, youth, and I realize some of you here have a lot of strength. I'm going to guess some of you here don't have much. And that's okay. Babes in Christ, it's not wrong that my little girl can't hardly walk and she stumbled. Some of you have that. You don't think they're terrible. No, you just realize they have to be protected. Especially in those types of cases, be extra careful. Too often we try to make our children missionaries and their mission fields. And let's remember, even though some of us feel we want to be missionaries, we're also a mission field. And thus we must be careful even in those settings that Brother Leonard mentioned. We all need to be careful. Let's make sure our ropes tie the right places. Relationships. Family relationships. Letting ourselves, our children, and ourselves connect with people too freely. To me, that's one of the dangers, and I'm just mixing this up. Trying to get a few things in here before we close. One of the dangers of what is called, just went blank, evangelism, that you make a lot of friends. Friendship evangelism. One of the dangers of friendship evangelism that I think happens so often, we end up with the world influencing us, and we don't end up influencing the world very much. It happens. And I'm not saying we don't show care and love and kindness and all that to our neighbors and our friends and the world. Let's just be careful of that one. I think that one also snares us more than we think. And we get snared because, well, I'm being a friend to him. Whether you're going hunting or whether you're whatever you're doing and you become a friend to him. And what happens is you hand a bigger and bigger rope. A bigger and bigger rope. And all of a sudden, the pull on that starts pulling a little bit. And it influences us. Can I give you a little personal study? Some of you jot this down. Here's a study. There are two things you can look at in the cure. Look at the take heeds and look at the take no thoughts. Jesus gives some very clear take heeds, focus on this, and some take no thoughts and don't focus on these. You can start, take heed. You can go to Hebrews 2:1. That's a start for a take heed. But there's a lot of take heeds in the Word of God. And then there's numerous take no thoughts. And you know that Matthew 6, 25, 31 and 34 is a good starting place. And broaden outside of those exact terms. But we find in the New Testament some very, very careful words. Take heed unto this. Focus on this. Put emphasis, thought, energy into this. But these here, don't put thought and energy and focus into. Let us, I know we already talk about this. Let us, for the cure, let's do remember, keep your roots here. Be careful not to go away from here, okay? In some senses, as I was meditating on this, I told one brother last night, I almost felt like it feels a little trite to say that. Because everyone says it. Even the people that are way off in left field say it. But it's still true. Let's keep our roots here. Number two, if you're a wheat for the cure, bind with other wheat. Bind together with other wheat. I hope my little rope illustration has made that clear. We need other wheat. Put forth energy and effort to carefully, choosing carefully who you hand ropes to. I remember an older brother who I respected very deeply making comments like this. He said something of the effect, he said, push in to the godly people that you want to be like. Push in. They might seem busy. They might seem like you're little and they're important and you're not. Push in. Ask questions. Connect. Do it anyway. They care. They'll love. Push in. Not in a self-whatever way, but in a humble way. Push in. So, what do you think about this, brother? What do you think I should do about that? How do you process this? And hand them ropes. Here, brother, would you pull on my rope? That's what we're doing. Especially as young people, we desperately need this. We're in a very, very formative time. And the way the ropes pull in our youth affects majorly the way we lean even when we're older. Put forth effort to bind together with others. Don't trust yourself so much. I think I'm learning little by little not to trust myself so much. Help me, brothers. If I'm not saying this right, help me. And I mean it. I think I really do to my very core. Yesterday, a brother came up and showed me a weakness. I was thankful, very thankful. Do it again, brother. I want to learn and help me. And sometimes you have to be really, really practical. We need each other if we're going to make it. A minister went to visit one of members of the church. Went and sat down with him. He was kind of a quiet man, lived by himself. He went and sat down on his couch with him in front of the fireplace. Man didn't have a whole lot to say. And he, as a minister, didn't have a whole lot to say. They sat there in silence a while. The minister took a little prong in front of the fireplace and pulled a coal out of the fire and put it off by itself. They sat there in silence a while and they watched. That coal, all by itself, got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and almost went out. They just sat there, looked at the coal, looked at the fire. Then the minister pushed that coal back into the fire. And that little coal started burning and started glowing. And the minister got up, blessed him, and left. And the man got the point. Off by yourself, you die. I needed to come here this week. I've been stirred inside. And I've realized, Mickey, you need to make some changes in life. You need to make some changes. There's a little change that I've stuck in the back of my mind. I'm going to talk about it with my wife. That we need to change something in life. I need to be here. And you do too. Don't try to go off by yourself. Number 3 in cures. Recognize the thorns you are among and work against them influencing you. Recognize the thorns that are really pressing in on you. And let your brothers help you with that. Let your sisters help you with that. What are the thorns that are really pressing in on you? And I have numerous scriptures here. Again, honestly, I'm going to read one of them to you. Let's do 1 Peter 2:11. Is that the one I want? Dearly beloved, it's not actually the one I wanted. That's okay. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Romans 8:13, Colossians 3:5, Galatians 5:24, and we can go on and on. Mortify those things that are going to bother you and be bad. Mortify them. Put them down. Put extra effort into warding off where you know the thorns are the sharpest. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I know you do some of that. Thank you. You're working on that. You sit down and you talk practical sometimes. Brethren, there's thorns in this area. Let's not go there. There's thorns over here. Let's do it this way instead of this way. Because there's too many thorns killing too many people. Number 4 in a cure. Not only resist the bad, but lay up treasure in heaven. Not only lay not up, but lay up. Put forth energy and effort to put... When you put energy and effort into something, we'll look at this some more tomorrow. You affect your own self. Lay up treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You can take and put energy and effort and treasure into something. Time, money, effort, mind, time. And what happens is it pulls you that way. It's a beautiful, powerful principle we'll meditate on a little bit more tomorrow. Not only resist the thorns, as we mentioned in number 3, and be practical about it, but also... Number 4, lay up treasures in heaven. Can you picture our precious Lord Jesus in the world, sent into the pig pen? Son, go. Go. All right, here it is. Here's our globe. Go, son. From the glories of my barn, as it says. Remember that? My barn. Go, son, down there. I know it's a mess. I know it's dirty, but go. And so he goes and he lives his life in the world, not of the world, influencing the world, not influenced by the world. Picture with me an absolute impossibility, but picture our Lord Jesus walking down the street on a mission, and he gets distracted with a signboard that draws him in to a... And again, it almost makes me resist even saying it. But can you picture? He's drawn in by a signboard into a store and he buys something he didn't need. It was just his own lust of other things. He didn't do it! He was in the world, influencing the world, not influenced by it. Let's pray. Can we kneel to pray? Father, we can't do it. We have seen it over and over again. Earnest people whom we thought were earnest, and they fell and the thorns choked them. And God, we don't want to go there. Help us, Father. Help us. Would you help me? Help me, Lord. And thank you for these dear brothers and sisters that they're helping me this week. So I get to be with them and hear from them and learn from them. Thank you, Father. Would you bless them? Would you keep them, Lord? Keep them also. And Father, would you also open our eyes where we are allowing little thorns to hinder us? Big ones? Sure, absolutely. But just little ones. Lord, help us to start while they're little. Help us, Father. Help us, please. Would you help me, Lord? I need you. Give us humble hearts to not think so much of ourselves, but realize our need of proper influence and our need of you and need of carefulness. Help us, Father. Help me. Open our eyes, Father. We want to be faithful. Shall I find faith on the earth? You said, Lord Jesus. God, we want to be found faithful. Help us. Help me. Here we are, Lord, a little band and lowly. And we want to be faithful. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.